Welcome, everybody, to the Stone Down Sports Podcast. My name is Matt. Really happy to be here with you on this Tuesday evening. We are going to wrap up week 15 and answer the question that is on everybody's mind. Are you on to next week or are you on to next year? Before we jump into all of that, I do want to say thank you to all of our subscribers and everybody that comes and hangs out with us. We really appreciate it. You guys are what make this fun, and you keep us here doing this every week. As always, I'm joined by the head shrinkers, Kyle and Ramey. Ramey, it was an interesting weekend of football, and having the Saturday games made Sunday feel kind of weird.
It did. Hey, Matt. Hey, Kyle. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that our teams both played on Saturday, so we really didn't have anything to look forward to on Sunday other than a good day of football. But there were some weird games, and it was just kind of a meh day as far as like matchups, but we did have some good games. And the Monday night game last night was a bit of a surprise with Philly going down in Seattle coming back at the end with Drew Lock and nailed a couple long passes, went 92 yards in the last less than 2 minutes. So Pete Carroll moves to 8-0 against Philly, and all of a sudden, Philly's looking a little rickety. Hurts had the flu or something most of the week, and you could tell that impacted him. And while I think that Philly is reeling a little bit, their last three games are fairly easy, so that'll pretty surely get them right heading into the playoffs. But it looks like San Francisco's sitting pretty for the one seed, and Dallas and Philly stay even in the NFC East, which Philly's lost last night. So it was a good weekend of football. Kyle, how are you?
What up? I loved it. I wanted Seattle to lose because I wanted Detroit to clinch that playoff berth late last night, but didn't happen. So in a way, I guess it's taken down Philadelphia. We're still in play for the number two seed. So I guess I got to look at it that way, but I'm doing good. Yeah. You guys doing good. Glad we're all here. I see Dubo was in the chat.
Yep.
What up, boys? Made the finals in one league, playing for third in the other. Dak over Purdy was the killer for me there. We all said Dak, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure we all did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I said Purdy.
Yeah, I'll check the tape.
We were all in on Dak. It made sense. He'd been playing like an MVP, and then he went to Buffalo and did not play like an MVP. He laid an egg there.
An MVP?
Whatever.
What you said?
Just give me about 65 more seconds and I'll light you up, and I'm trying to stay clean here for the first few minutes.
Right. But congrats, dude, making the finals and third in the other. It's awesome, dude. It's good stuff.
You know what else is awesome? Real quick, I just want to point out, speaking of moving on, Kyle and I played this week in a league, and guess who didn't win?
Yeah. I think I can tell by your reaction.
Yes,
I wasn't that upset. Like I said, I sold right before the trade deadline there a couple weeks ago, and I knew what was happening. I knew my team was not strong enough, and I will look forward to seeing Matt get destroyed by our buddy Austin, who's got a very good team.
I'm defending my crown.
You know the drill, yeah. Kyle. Stand up, pants the ankles.
Right. Oh, God. Okay. Let's just roll into it, shall we?
Yeah. I guess.
What do we got? First game. Bucks travel to Lambeau. One-handedly, 34-20. Packers defense can't stop shit. No. A lot of questionable play calls there. You're sweating.
Made it by 10 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I planned that. Mayfield had a huge game there. This was actually a old NFC Central rematch rivalry, I guess, back in the day. Mayfield, huge game, threw 381, four touchdowns, had a perfect passer rating at Lambeau, which I think is the only one.
Aaron Rodgers had one. He's the
for a visiting player.
Which every time someone has a perfect passer rating, I always bring this up. He did not complete all of his passes. So how is it possible that he had a perfect passer rating?
I don't know. He got sacked five times.
Flawed system.
Yeah.
Yep. It definitely is. But yeah, thoughts?
I hope Packers are done, so you guys are probably happy. Baker spread it around, but really focused on Chris Godwin. 12 targets, 10 receptions, 155 yards. I thought it's like Chris Godwin's rising like the Undertaker. I know David Moore and Mike Evans and Rashad White each had receiving touchdowns. Godwin didn't, so that Co-Keefed too did also, but never heard of him. So as you could tell by my struggle with his name, Baker looked really good against that just dreadful Packers defense. Keeping the Bucks in playoff contention, and then that in contention for that division title. Everybody's kind of around 7-7, 6-8, so it's still got a few games to go, but the Bucks went up and took care of business and are staying in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, that was an interesting game. And you know, FTP, of course, Baker Mayfield, that was his sixth QB1 finish of the season. He's been solid, if unspectacular, over the last 4 weeks. He's given you 230 and two, which you're going to be relatively happy with. He's holding on to the ball. He only has 11 turnovers on the season, 25 touchdowns. And this week, he had a league high 9 attempts that traveled 20 or more air yards down the field. So they come into Lambeau and they were just chucking it in what Chris Berman would lovingly call the Bay of Pigs game from back in the day. Chris Godwin finally showed up, and that was a long time in the making. He had 12 targets, a career high 42% target share. Funnily enough, his previous career high was last week with 39%. He still managed to turn that into 5 for 53. So, you know, good job.
Yeah. Captain Spock's hanging out there. What's up, guys? His 4 out of 7 of his redraft teams made the playoffs. That's good, man. Heck yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Way to go, Cal.
I only play in leagues with 4 playoff teams, so playoffs start this week for me. Good luck, man. Hell yeah. You know who I was impressed with there again, Rashad White. You know, he was just kind of garbage the first part of the season, but he didn't have more than 80 yards rushing in the first 10 games, but he's got more than 80 the last 4 games. This week was also his first 50 rush yards and 50 receiving yards in the same game in his career, so he's really coming along. On the flip side, dude, I really like that Jaden Reed. FTP aside, I really like that Jaden Reed kid. He is starting to separate himself. What did he have? 8 targets, 6 receptions, 52 yards and a touchdown. He probably had some rushing stuff too, but I don't see it.
He did not.
No, he did not this week. But I really like him a lot. He's starting to separate himself. It was kind of Romeo Doubs the first part of the season, and now it seems to be Jaden Reed. He's got a big future there. He's got a big future in this league. He's just very versatile. Kind of reminds you of a little bit as versatility, kind of like versatility, like
there you go.
Debo, like Debo a little bit.
He's
not as big as Debo or strong probably, but similar skill set.
Yeah, absolutely. He's more like the lower middle class man's Debo. Not quite a poor man's, he's been awesome in just how efficient he is. When he's on the field, he's getting the ball. Last week, he ran 41% of routes and had a 22% target share. Over the last 4 weeks, he's running 60% of routes with a 22% target share. He's got multiple rush attempts in 3 of 5, like you were saying. He's showing off that versatileness. He's got 8 touchdowns on the year, 700 total yards. Like, what more can you ask for from a rookie who was in an offense that coming into the season, we didn't know what it was going to look like?
Yeah.
And it looks like Jordan Love wasn't the reason that they lost that game. It was the defense just playing dreadful. I think Jordan Love had a little bit of a lull. What was it? Three or four weeks ago. And I mean, since then he's played pretty well. He looks like a guy that could be there for at least the next year or two while they try to figure out the quarterback situation, but the offense looks okay. It's just getting Aaron Jones healthy. He had 13 carries for 53 yards. Nothing great, but it's getting him consistently healthy and being able to rely on that run game. But the quarterback's not really the problem there. It's the defense and then keeping everybody healthy. Christian Wood didn't play.
Watson?
Yeah. I'm trying to read too many things and talk at the same time. Dontavian Wicks had 6 receptions for 97 yards. So they've got plenty of weapons in the receiving game. It's just, it seems they're unable to kind of stay healthy in the running game. So, but I was really impressed with Baker, and especially if they continue to win, they're not going to be in a position to draft a quarterback in the draft. So do you run it back with Baker next year and try to make another run at a relatively weak division?
I mean, why not? It's a team with deficiencies for sure. Yeah. But Rashad White, they found something in him. I mean, dude's been an RB1 8 of the past 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing his part there. Evans and Godwin are a good combination there. Cade Otton isn't really a slouch. They've certainly got their opportunities. They can't run block to save them their lives, and they've got to work to build on that and on the back end of their defense. But I think Baker has played well enough to at least be in the conversation for them next year. And that's pending his contract status. I don't know if he's there on a 1-year deal or what.
I believe it is.
Yeah,
from what I recall, I think it's a 1-year deal. But I don't think there's many people you can get out there better, and they're playing well, so they're not going to get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft next year. And he's been playing very well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if – there it is – If they don't roll it back with Baker and they end up with a pick in the 12 to 16 kind of range, if the Bears decide to draft a quarterback, if that might be a potential landing spot for Justin Fields.
Man, Justin Fields. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that bad, but
I don't either. And I know we're not going to talk about that game, but he hasn't looked bad. It's just the consistency of playing and then the coaching as well. So not to get into that game too much, but I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point. It's just the risk of offering him a big time contract versus kind of resetting the clock and going with a rookie. So, but yeah, that's not the game we're talking about. So
Dubo's in the chat. Both his leagues are head-to-head matchup style, looking to try something different for next year. What style do you guys do?
We also Kyle prefers doggy style.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised your knees can handle it at your age.
That's true. It is. Yeah. And, you know, the big question is, you know, the big question is, you know, top or bottom. You know, you just – don't know. But anyway, I'd like to try some different leagues. Matt and I have talked about that a couple times. Some, you know, guillotine leagues and stuff like that. I'd really like to get into that. If any of you guys know some of that for next year, let me know, because I'd be interested in doing some additional
stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Survivor sounds, leagues, all them, all them ones. Yeah. And you guys are talking to each other. Too much information.
That would be correct.
All right. Any more? Packers, Bucks.
We'll get to them a little bit later once we talk about waiver wire targets. And Ramey, you kind of touched on him a little bit. Dontavian Wicks, since Christian Watson's been out, he's running 70% of routes. He's carving out a 16% target share. This time of year, there ain't a whole hell of a lot on the wire, but he's shown he can get downfield. He's a decent little receiver. They're putting something together there in Green Bay, FTP, at least in their wide receiver room. And next season, it's going to be a lot of fun to see who's the odd man out.
Yeah.
A lot of receivers.
Yeah. Bucks have won 3 straight. They play Jacksonville this Sunday, and then there's a showdown with the Saints at home, kind of that looks like it may determine that division. So it'll be kind of fun to watch.
Sure will. All right.
What's next?
Vikings at Bengals. Overtime game. Jake Browning He's kind of making a name for himself, is he not? They were what they were, I think they were down 17-3 late in the third quarter and had fourth quarter touchdown drives and the winning drive in overtime. In the past four starts, he has a passer rating of 110.9. It's pretty good. And it was a revenge game for him. Vikings let him go from their practice squad a couple seasons ago. I think the camera even caught him screaming something, they should have never cut me or something. I thought that was pretty cool. But, man, that play of the day was that Higgins touchdown.
That was sweet.
He yeah. reached it. It's the picture on the thumbnail this week, and it was fucking sweet. The way that he's just spatially aware to yeah. It was sweet.
Yeah. Browning looked really good. That was a really fun game to start off the weekend to watch, and the Bengals stay in the playoff hunt. Jake Browning was 29 of 42 for 324, two touchdowns. He did have a pick, but T. Higgins is playing like he knows he's up for a new contract at the end of the year. T. Higgins had four grabs for 61 yards, but two touchdowns, including that amazing one. He's been playing really well the last couple of weeks since Browning's been in there. He's stepped up, and with Chase being out this coming weekend, I'd look for that to continue.
Absolutely. This is T's chance to show he can be the man. Yep. That was an amazing play. You know, if you just did nothing but box score scouting, you could honestly look at the Bengals quarterbacks this season and wonder who's the dude that just got $250 million. Jake Browning has been the QB2 over the past 3 weeks. This week, he targeted 12 players. He's spreading the ball around. He's playing again within himself, and they're not asking him to do too much. But at the same time, he's showing he can do quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. He's been playing really well. And I'm curious to find out if that continues or if he has a little bit of the Gardner Minshew effect. Yeah, I'm going to say it about 18 more times. They go to the Steelers and Chiefs and then end the season with the Browns. So as he continues to play, it's going to be really interesting. If he is able to adapt, or if teams get a book on him, especially teams that are coming up that have fairly good defenses, and his production kind of wavers there, but so far so good, and they couldn't be more happy with his production. It's like they never, not that they never missed a beat with Burrow going down, but he's picked it up and he's running with it. So,
yeah, he is, and he's getting help too. A healthy yeah. T. Higgins is going to be big. Obviously, Chase is going to be out for a minute. But Joe Mixon, he's scored four of the past 5 weeks. He's the running back four since week 10. Like, he's really stepped up as the season has gone on. Averaged 4.7 yards a carry against the Vikings, who have shown to be a more than competent defense. He's always a threat out of the backfield. He'll get you 2, 3, 4, 5 grabs, and he can do something with the ball once he gets it. Now, he's not going to take off for an 80-yard touchdown or something like that. It's not his game anymore. He's getting up there in years, but he's been damn dependable for you, and definitely a bonus on any roster here in week two of the playoffs, week one of the playoffs. We're here in the postseason.
Yeah, Nick Mullins played well, in the backup role, backup of the week for the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell's done really, really nice job with all the turmoil that's gone up there as far as the quarterback carousel. Mullins was 26 of 33 with two touchdowns, two interceptions. He had over 300 yards passing. And the guy that I mentioned last week that nobody agreed with me on, including you, Dubo, Ty Chandler, 23 yeah. carries for 132 yards and a touchdown. And then he had 25 more yards and three receptions through the air. So he had a fucking good game, and I'm happy about that.
How does that vindication feel, Ramey?
Feels real good. Real good, Matt.
Now, Nick Mullins, I mean, look, he had a fine game, and he's played in some stretches for San Francisco. He's somebody who's good enough to get the ball to the playmakers, but his downfall is really turnovers. He's got 25 interceptions in 26 career games. That's just, it's not going to be good enough if you're looking to make the playoffs and do something in the playoffs, unless your name is Josh Allen, and that ain't him. But he'll keep them competitive for you know, a few weeks. He's somebody, another dude who's limited. Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
That was a game, man. That was a game. All six of his targets went over 100, found the end zone twice. He'd gone three straight weeks under 10 points. This was a hell of a rebound. He's the number one wide receiver this week. So make sure you put some respect on his name.
Back to Ty Chandler. He was an every down back, really. I mean, CJ Ham had a couple plays on third and long, and he's actually done that all season. But dude, Akers only scored once when he was playing, and Madison still hasn't ran for a fucking touchdown all season. Ty Chandler did look good. Did look damn good.
He sure did. He's still out there.
So kudos. Kudos to you, Randy. Too.
Thanks.
His waivers wires.
Hey, his waivers wires. And it's times like this that I like to use the phrase, even a blind squirrel can find a nut every now and then. So
yeah, I know you like nuts. Hazelnuts.
You're a dipshit. TJ Hockenson had another decent game, 6 for 63, 7 targets. He has been just the picture of consistency this season. He over 10 points in all 10 games. He's your tight end one on the season. And I remember when Detroit first traded him, I was kind of puzzled, specifically because, you know, it was to a division rival. They brought in Sam Laporta and all is good. But damn it, it also kind of sucks to see him flourish there with the Vikings. Sorry, Dubo. And you know, I think to, you know, what might have been if he would have stuck around and Detroit snagged Laporta anyway, just the havoc they could wreak on defenses.
Oh, it'd be sick.
Yeah. But really everybody in that Vikings receiving core benefited from Mullins being in instead of Josh Dobbs. I don't know if that's because of, I mean, he only had 9.2 average per completion, but I don't know if he's stretching the field more. And Jordan Addison really benefited from a full game with Justin Jefferson on the other side being healthy and playing well. I mean, Jefferson had 10 targets. He led the team in targets and had 7 grabs for 84 yards. So it's not like they weren't looking his way. He had some really nice catches, but Addison kind of stole the show.
Okay.
Yeah, he's showing himself to be one of the best young receivers in the league. And he's going to be somebody that needs to be respected going forward.
Mm-hmm. Dubo in the chat. The joke around town is Kirk's just sitting on his couch watching these QBs. Big money next season.
Well, shit. If Baker Mayfield, if he's a free agent, it doesn't Minnesota look like a place that he might like to go? And you could probably get him a little bit cheaper than Kirk Cousins. Not that that's going to happen.
And he's younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kirk's 36 or will be 36. And
I think Baker's probably 10 years younger than him.
Right. We'll get to find out how well Baker Mayfield likes Spam in Hormel chili.
Yes. Head to Spam Town USA. Go to Austin. Jesus. All right. Enough of that one. Let's talk about a fun team. Broncos came to Detroit and got stomped 42-17.
End of Lions. Analysis.
Yeah. That's all I need. Lions won 42-17, improving to 10-4. Goff had a huge game, 24-34, 278. He threw 5 touchdown passes, and most importantly, didn't have a turnover. Him and C.J. Stroud, only quarterbacks to throw 5 touchdown passes this season. So shredded the Broncos. They're you know, hyped up pass defense. They've only given up 4 touchdowns over the previous 6 games.
Yeah.
I love it. And we mentioned Laporta a little bit ago. Holy God. The guy's amazing. He needs 12 receptions over the course of the last 3 games to surpass Jeremy Shockey and Keith Jackson for most receptions by tight end, rookie tight end. It's impressive. I mean, when they drafted him in the second round, yeah, I thought he'd be okay. He's from Iowa. He'll be good, but I didn't think he'd be this good.
No, I don't think anyone did. We got Capman there. Minnesota is the land of poutine.
I think you have that confused with Canada.
Either way, you can have it. I ain't
Canada adjacent.
Yeah,
I ain't eating no damn cheese curds. Dude. Jared Goff, say it with me now. QB1. He was the best performer of the week. It was the best he's looked since early in the season, weeks 5 and week 6. Laporta, 9th straight game with 5+ targets.
Yeah,
he's out there earning his keep every week. Nice little bounce back from ARSB. He'd been trending downward over the past 5 weeks. 7 for 112 and a touchdown. 9 targets. It was his first time with 9 or more targets since week 12. He only had
5 receptions the last previous 2 weeks total.
So, yeah. And he had had 6 straight games with 9 or more targets. So he'd been dominant. He took a little step back, but he's doing his thing. Jahmyr Gibbs, another top 5 finish. Absolutely love to see it. He's got 3 or 4 games with 11 carries, 8 touchdowns this season, all in the last 8 games. Averaged almost 10 yards a carry. He is just electric, and I love watching him run because he's so fast, but he's so powerful too, given his size.
Yeah, Goff really calmed those voices in his head. He wasn't seeing ghosts, wasn't seeing things. He played really well. And for a Broncos team that had been playing pretty well as of late, they kind of shit the bed coming to Detroit. Made it a get-right game for Detroit coming down the stretch here. So the defense for the Broncos obviously played terrible, giving up 42 points and 5 touchdowns to Goff. Russell Wilson didn't have a particularly good day. 18 of 32 for 223 and a touchdown. The running game, which they had kind of leaned on for that stretch where they won 5 out of 6, total 28 carries for 83 yards and a touchdown. And one of those touchdowns was in garbage time when it was already out of hand. So just really, I mean, good for me as a Colts fan that they lost, because now they're a game behind us. But just, I thought it was going to be a better game than that based on how the Broncos have been playing and how the Lions have been playing. But I'm happy for you guys. They're, like we talked about earlier in the show, they're in contention for that 2 seed if the Cowboys slip, and they actually go to Dallas in a couple weeks. So they control their own destiny for that 2 seed.
Great went in the show. Welcome to the show. Happy to have you here. He sat Kincaid for Kraft last week. Would you guys roll with Kraft? Talking about from
Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, they've
with Dawson Knox back, you think maybe, but I don't know.
I mean, the Bills have a nice matchup against the Chargers. And surprisingly enough, the Panthers have been pretty tough against tight ends. Green Bay, they kind of understand that their ass ain't making the playoffs barring a miracle, and they're going to be switching more into evaluation mode, where Buffalo, they need every single win. They need to win every game. And I think you're going to have a better chance going with Kincaid. I think they're both halfway decent plays. They're both top 8-ish, but I'm going to go with Kincaid.
I would agree. The only concern is the emergence of James Cook out of that backfield, both from a running and kind of a receiving perspective. I don't know if he could potentially take some targets away from Kincaid and Knox just because of how successful they've been throwing the ball to Cook and running it with him. But yeah, I think over the long haul, just the fact that, to your point, Matt, the Bills have to win out pretty much to be in the playoffs. And I think that they're more likely going to be the ones putting up points.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got Kincaid. He's also averaged about 6 targets over the past 5 weeks, which, you'll take that at tight end.
Yep. Captain Spock says Twin Cities has a lot of places that serve poutine. What is hot dish? Because Dubo's talking about hot dish. We call them casseroles here in Michigan. I don't call them hot dish. But And it depends. It you need that good, especially in the winter captain spot. You need you need the cold or warm food, cold comfort food, because it's fucking cold as shit here. And casseroles do the trick a lot. I wish I could have spit that out better. Might have been good.
Yeah, probably would have helped.
That's what she said.
There's some good ones out there, but
yeah. Appreciate you stopping by. Great one. Good luck in your matchup this week. It's that time of season. You know, it's I love the sweat of the playoffs. Even at this point where you know games are still several days away and you're sitting there and you're staring at your team and who do you start? Every decision is magnified. I can dig it, man. I can dig it. If you haven't yet, throw us a like and subscribe. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 11:30.
Yeah. I was going to say, Jameson Williams had 7 targets, which was nice to see. In the first 3 quarters, when the game was, you know, still mattered, he played 73% of offensive snaps. So I like seeing that. It's getting more integrated. I got a feeling he might make a play in the playoffs or something and just go, but I can't wait for next season. Hopefully he stops gambling.
And you guys have got to be encouraged with your defense, specifically your secondary, played really well against the Broncos, and they get CJGJ back.
Yep.
Yes.
So just in time for that stretch run with the Vikings twice and the Cowboys, I think what, I mean, you'd love a sweep, but what are you hoping for, 2 out of 3 there?
I mean, Detroit just needs to win one to wrap up the division.
Yeah.
So, you know, get me one and I'm a happy camper. After that point, let's just get in healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most classic example is ground beef, topped with tater tots and flavored with cream of mushroom soup sauce.
I mean, just had that this past weekend, tater tot casserole.
Yep, you did have that. That's right. I've never made it before, but I make other.
I like how this is.
But, I mean,
morphing into a culinary podcast.
It is. It is. It's we're stoned down sports and
cream of mushroom soup's good on. I would never eat cream of mushroom soup, but it's good when you bake it with things.
Yes, it is. Proteins and pastas and rice and or whatever. Okay. All right. Moving along. Your Colts, Ramey.
Yes.
Your Colts had a great game. They were actually losing 13-0.
They were, but that doesn't matter because they.
And then 30 unanswered points. I was really impressed with that. Minshew was nice. Despite losing Michael Pittman, that's huge. Hopefully he's going to be okay. That hit was bad, and I think I saw that player got suspended for the rest of the year.
Correct,
he did.
Because
of, even though your quarterback God said it was Minshew's fault, and not that guy's fault for hitting him in the head. Although,
well, he didn't necessarily. He said coaching and QB play, but stop putting your receivers in these positions. And like, listen, Tom Brady played this game a long time, and he did it very well for a long time. He knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah.
Regardless if you're not a Brady fan, he knows what he's talking
about. I'm just saying, let's go back. Pretty sure he threw a few to Danny Amendola over the middle where he got just absolutely creamed. So, you know what, Tom? I know he's just getting ready for his Fox role and trying to put some stuff out there that's going to get things stirred up. But no, I'm just kidding. There is some validity to it. You got to be careful with how you throw the ball and where you put it for receivers. Pittman had to go down and lay out to get it. And he got absolutely crushed, saw it live and then saw the replay. And it was just one of those cringing plays where I was honestly surprised he got up and walked off the field.
Yeah. Sorry. I was just sitting here watching Austin Collie highlights.
Gross.
It reminded me of some of the passes I saw back in the day.
AJ in the house through the Facebook stream. Good evening. Made it the championship game this weekend. Who should I roll with? Kincaid, Likely, or Kraft at tight end? We just kind of talked about that. Does that change your mind with Likely thrown in?
Maybe.
Likely's had a nice couple of games here.
Lamar looking for him.
But that's kind of a tough matchup with San Fran too. So I would probably go with likely at this point in time. I know our rankings won't get released here for about another 36 hours.
Should get on that.
And then maybe you need the Cleveland, Indy. I'm trying to look at the matchups for next week. We usually don't get into those until Thursday, but love the question.
Green Bay's playing the Panthers, so that's a damn nice matchup.
Panthers
are looking. I don't really think you need to go beyond that.
Yeah, I put a waiver in for Packers in a league.
Who's Cleveland got? Cleveland's got Houston, but probably CJ Stroud back. Indy's got Atlanta. I mean, I probably would go with Green Bay as well, but Indy's probably not a terrible matchup against that Atlanta offense.
Doesn't your defense kind of suck?
It's actually gotten better as the years come on. I know there was a stretch where you're absolutely right. They were giving up 38 points a game. They were leading the league in points given up. But to their credit, they've tightened things up, and specifically that secondary is doing a lot better.
Yeah.
They're not the worst product.
Cleveland at Houston. I don't hate Cleveland. I don't hate that.
Yeah, I guess the Cleveland's.
AJ, go with Green Bay. These two are sitting here arguing, trying to be the smartest guy in the room. Just go with Green Bay and be the winner. Yeah,
that's fine.
That's the smartest play, I guess, against the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers.
Once that weather's coming shitty off again.
Career game.
Right.
No. Back to the Colts. I mean, Pittsburgh was up 13-0. I was getting nervous, and then the Colts decided to do what the Colts do, and they imposed their physical will on the Steelers. So they ran the hell out of the ball. They ran 34 times for 170 yards. It was actually a very Steelers game. Typically what I see the Steelers do against the Colts. But if you guys listened on Thursday, I mentioned that Gardner Minshew throwing 25 to 28 passes is probably about right. He went 18 for 28 for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had a really good game. He was one of my deuces last Thursday. I did not do well this weekend.
No.
I think is that an ofer? Like, I think that I went
that's your second ofer this season.
Yeah. Whoops-a-daisy. But I mean, he played really well. He did exactly what he needed to do, and they decided to pull guys out that I'd never heard of. Trey Sermon, but Tyler Goodson, 11 carries for 69 yards. Zach Moss unfortunately got hurt on that touchdown run, but Colts ran the ball really well, and they kind of put the game away in the third and the fourth quarter by just running it right down the middle.
They did. At one time, they had 14 consecutive runs in the second half, and I was like, holy shit. But Moss injured that same right arm that he broke in the preseason. I haven't seen or read. I haven't seen. Maybe you know. Is he fucked or?
He is going to play, or he tends to play. He's still questionable, but he intends to play, and they'll probably get Jonathan Taylor back this Sunday too. So,
That's another thing. Yeah, because the thing is too, they got the Falcons, and they allowed the second fewest fantasy points to running backs.
Yeah.
So I would probably avoid that back room unless Jonathan Taylor does play this week.
Yeah. And even then I could see Jonathan Taylor catching some balls out of the backfield.
And same thing for that. Yeah. And same thing for Pittman. There's probably a decent chance he could miss this game. Falcons defense, third fewest fantasy points to wide receiver. So anyone who needs a replacement for Pittman next week, you want to look at another team, I'm thinking.
If you're desperate, Alec Pierce, I mean, he only had one catch for 13 yards, but he lined up in the and ran the routes that Pittman ran once Pittman was out, and he actually looked good, especially with that one catch. I think they're going to have to throw more. They didn't have to throw once Pittman went out and they had the lead. What happened to Kyle? He's leaving. Okay. But I think if you're desperate, like I said, Alec Pierce might be worth picking up just because he could fill that role in kind of a temporary mode. I don't think Pittman will be out for too long, and he may even actually play this week. We'll have to see once the injury reports come out. But Colts continue to roll, and I know they're at 8 wins. It shocks me, and I'm a Colts fan. I didn't think they were going to sniff 6 this year, but Shane Steichen probably should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Captain Spock, he wants to do some bong rips and eat some hot dish. He's got the right idea right there. And my belly is growling. Mitch Trubisky, how shitty of a QB do you have to get benched in favor of Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, I think Trubisky's Cleveland run is pretty much over. Yeah. Cleveland,
Pittsburgh. I mean, that whole offense is just kind of garbage right now. Deontay Johnson did find the end zone. He had 6 targets. He scored actually in his last 3 games. He hasn't gone over 75 yards since week 9. It was his 6th finish as a wide receiver 2 or better, which is about the ceiling that you're going to get for any pass catcher there in that offense, given the situation at quarterback. Najee looked like ass. He played a season low, 34% of snaps. Jalen Warren didn't really look all that much better. I mean, he averaged 4 yards a carry against a Colts rush defense that has struggled for a good portion of the year. Mm-hmm. He played a season high 69% of snaps. So maybe we're starting to see a transition and a reversing of workload there. I don't think it's really going to matter a whole hell of a lot. This is a team that's not scored 20 points since week 10.
Yeah. And they've been in this game script before, and he still hasn't played this frequently, Jalen Warren. So, yeah, I do kind of wonder if it's a sign of things to come.
They have
remaining games against the Bengals and Seahawks. I think that's pretty competitive games for Warren. Both teams have allowed a decent amount of production to running backs. I like Warren rest of the season.
Yeah. Shit. Look what Ty Chandler did.
Yeah.
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 That's only good. Somebody had said that.
I know. Got to speak up.
Colts go to Atlanta and then they finish the season at home against the Raiders and the Texans, which that Texans game looks like it may be for the division or at the very least for a wild card spot. So there's a 3-way tie at the top of the AFC South right now with Jacksonville losing on Sunday night. And they hold the tiebreakers though. So, but like I said, in a lot better position than I thought they'd be right at this point.
This division has some great quarterbacks in it. And Trevor Lawrence probably isn't even the best one. It's probably Stroud and Anthony Richardson are going to end up being, better. Trevor Lawrence just seems to not be totally figuring it out. I don't see him getting any better. Last year he was better. He hasn't made another step this season.
I think that's the concerning thing, right? The first year was a disaster with he who shall not be named. And then Doug Peterson comes in and kind of rights the ship, and just having a normal environment, Trevor Lawrence really thrived. And then they added Calvin Ridley another year with Kirk and Etienne and Evan Ingram. And that offense hasn't gotten better. So is it Doug Peterson? Is it the coaching staff, or is Lawrence kind of hit a sophomore slump, if you're not counting that first year that again was just a disaster?
Yeah, I mean, you are talking about a guy whose signature win was a game where he threw 4 interceptions in that playoff game against the Chargers. So
Chargers.
That's enough of this bullshit. Let's talk about the Rams and Commies. I got shit to say.
I wonder how soon after the season's over the Jags will hire Frank Reich as their offensive coordinator.
Oh, we can only hope.
And then we get Frank Reich revenge games.
Right.
All over the place.
We'll see. Commanders at Rams. Wow, I don't think this game was as really close as it was with the score, but Kyren Williams, man, is that guy just, he's going to be very high on draft boards next season.
Yep,
he's looked very, he needs
to start
good.
Holding on to the damn ball.
He does. He overcame those 2 fumbles to have that 152 yards and a touchdown. Cup came back and he's back 8 for 111. They had that awesome catch wide open, it was 62 yards or something like that. That Stafford actually did overthrow it. But Kupp was able to grab onto it fingertips. But Washington's a disaster.
Yeah, they are.
Just Kobe Brissett came in and relieved Sam Howell. I'll shut up now. For real.
So I guess the question I'll ask is, looking at the body of work for Sam Howell, do you think he's played well enough to earn another year? Because you think back when he was in college, there was talk of him as a first round pick.
Yep.
And then he ended up going in the fifth, and who knows if that was like an overcorrection or an overreaction or what. But physically, the talent is there. Bieniemy has brought his version of Andy Reid's offense east to DC. He's slinging it. I mean, he's chucking it around. Turnovers are a concern, but you got to remember this is his first full year starting, so there's going to be those growing pains. I think he's played well enough for them to not draft a quarterback really high in the draft.
So I was going to say, yes, he's, I'm kind of on the same page with you. We got a question in the chat, so let's do that and then get back to
Dozer. Welcome back to the show, man. I know you've been here before. Eckler, Connor, or Aaron Jones. Who would you guys start this week?
I don't trust Aaron Jones. So
the data says to start Aaron Jones because Carolina's horrible against running backs. But and then Eckler and the coaching change there. What are you going to get there?
Yeah. You got James Connor.
I ain't starting Connor against the Bears.
Yeah.
That Bears defense has been playing damn well. I'm going to go with Aaron Jones. I think Green Bay has an excellent chance to win that game. They're like a 5-point favorite right now. And sometimes we need to take our cues from Vegas. That's a game they should win easily. I can't see that being a game where Jordan Love is throwing the ball 40 times. Eckler has not looked good at all this year. I mean, he's had a couple decent games, but other than that, he's looked off. I don't know if he's not fully recovered from the injury or if it's just Father Time coming in and saying, like, you had your run, but now you're just going to fade into oblivion, as Mike Tyson would say. You know, and this one for me, it's more just a process of elimination. I don't have as many red flags for Aaron Jones as I do for Connor and Eckler, and so that's who I'm going to go with.
I hate to agree with you. Keep an eye on the injury report, though, because Aaron Jones lives on the injury report. And
he does.
I mean, you got Eckler playing on Saturday. You got Connor playing after the Packers. So you do have a backup there. It's not a wonderful option if Jones ends up not playing on Sunday. So I guess
Dylan was hurt this last week, so I don't know if he's good to go or not. But
Green Bay plays at 1 and Arizona plays at 4:25. So you do have a backup plan, but keep an eye. I think Jones is the play, but keep an eye on the injury report.
Yeah. Dozer, the Panthers are 30th in the league in points allowed to fantasy running backs. That's who you probably should start. The Panthers are that whole organization's in a fucking disarray from owner on down. I'd go with Aaron Jones.
Sweet. Good luck, Dozer. Appreciate you stopping back by. It's been a minute.
So Sam Howell.
Yeah.
I agree with you on part of it. I think he does deserve another year, but I think they need to look at if there's a quarterback there in the draft, they need to look at grabbing him, especially because there's going to be a complete overhaul with the coaching staff. I know probably. There's been talk of elevating Bieniemy to head coach, but I don't know about that. I think that they're going to want to bring in their own regime, the new ownership group of the commies. So I think depending on where they fall in the draft, and right now it's looking like a top 5 pick. If Drake May sitting there or Jaden Daniels, somebody like that, you're going to have to think long and hard about bringing somebody in and letting Howell play while the rookie quarterback watches. But I get what you're saying, Matt. He's thrown the ball really well, and he's been in a lot of different systems while he's been there in Washington. So you got to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. He's shown he can do it, but I don't know. Like, they just aren't good at, they have the weapons. They should be a better offense than what they are.
Agreed. I mean, Terry McLaurin, look at him. He went 6 for 141 and a touchdown. He missed another by about 8 inches, 12 targets. It was his fifth game with 10 plus targets. He's a wide receiver, 30 on the season, which I don't think anybody really saw coming. We you know, he's kind of been that steady Eddie for you over the past several years, a low to, you know, a mid wide receiver too, can have those really big blow up weeks and be a solid wide receiver one for stretches. This season, he's only got 8 games over 10 points.
Yeah. They slung it again a bunch. Howell did. Brian Robinson was out. I think that offense looks better with Brian Robinson in, not a ton better, but better. Antonio, they didn't really run the ball very much. Antonio Gibson was, ran 4 times, caught 5 passes. That's not really much different than his stat line, what it normally is when Brian Robinson's in the fucking game. So it was really weird to me.
It was, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't even write shit down for Antonio Gibson because he didn't do shit.
Right.
He didn't even warrant the notes. You know who did do some shit? Curtis Samuel. You're welcome, Juice. 5 for 41, 2 touchdowns. He had 9 targets, got 5+ targets in 4 or 5 games. He was your wide receiver 13 this week on the back of those 2 touchdowns. And he's somebody who a few years ago when he was in Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater was there and he supported 3,000 yard receivers. But Curtis Samuel always seems like one of those dudes who just gets misused in an offense, that he's not had the opportunity to play for somebody who can really unlock his talents, because he's another dude that you can give him the ball on jet sweeps. You can put him in the backfield. He can go out wide and he can just burn you with straight line speed. But there's always been something missing from the offenses that he's in. And that's why it gets frustrating having him on your team, because you never know which week is the week to start it. And my dumbass had to trust Jahan Dotson this week. And how'd that work out? Like 1 for 15 yards. You gotta be shitting me.
12.
Yeah. He is not the guy there.
Definitely. No, he is not.
Here's a hypothetical for you. Then I'll tell you what I really think is going to happen. If you were the Colts, I guess, if you were the Colts, would you trade Josh Downs and a 3rd-round pick to Washington for Terry McLaurin?
If I'm the Colts, I do that. I don't see Washington doing it.
No?
No.
Even with after a down year, knowing that they've already given him a contract that they're going to have to pay him for? When Curtis Samuel and there's others there that have shown that they can produce?
I think they can produce because Terry McLaurin's there.
Yeah. So what I really think is going to happen, because he's had kind of a down year, he seems like a guy that the Chiefs are going to target to try to bring in next year to give them more of a receiving threat.
You got to remember, though, like, too, he came into the league old. He's 28 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he was a 24-year-old rookie in 2019. You don't really see that all that often. But he went to Ohio State, apparently just couldn't make it through school.
Well, their admission standards are way lower than, you know, universities such as Michigan, or
Ivy Tech,
Notre Dame,
Mott College.
Right. Something like that. Okay. All right. We're done with
shoot.
We're done with that.
Look at us. We're already 53 minutes in.
I mean, we're not done, but we're done.
We're done-ish.
Yeah. Waiver wire targets for week 6. Team, I'm sure you guys got some good ones. Maybe I know you guys have mentioned, actually, I think a couple.
My first one is Melvin Gordon, just because of Keaton Mitchell getting hurt. He's been elevated from the practice squad. Is he somebody you're going to be thrilled to run out there? No, but if you just need 10, 11 touches, he's decent out of the backfield, you know, in an aspect that Gus Edwards doesn't really excel in. They brought up some other dickhead too to the active roster, but I don't know what his name was or what his story is either. I just happened to see it in passing and it just didn't register enough for me to remember it. But Melvin Gordon's got a track record of, you know, being below average the past few years, but they got to run somebody out there. And maybe he's just an insurance thing, and Gus is going to get 20 carries. We'll see.
That sucks for Keaton Mitchell. I know we didn't get to talk about it much, but he was just really starting to kind of show what he could do. And I don't know what it is about Ravens running backs, but Jesus, they need to insure their knee ligaments, because it seems like every goddamn one of them tears them.
Yeah.
So Go ahead, Kyle.
What you got? No, you're good.
I'm not going to try to outsmart myself here because I suck at fantasy football. Jake Browning's still available in over half of leagues. We already went over his stats. Thank you. Yeah. Jake Browning's still available. I know he's facing some tougher defenses, but it's the Steelers this week, so it's not that tough. If you need a quarterback, I'd pick him up.
Oh shit. Captain Spock's got it right. Melvin Borden.
Melvin Borden. That is a good one. Obviously Ty Chandler's one. He's still available in 45% of
leagues. Oh, Ty Chandler. Well, okay. So,
yeah.
He's pretty good for the Vikings, but he's not a really good fantasy back.
Right. You could pick him up this week. I don't recommend him starting against the Lions, but the following week against the Packers would be a fine matchup, assuming Madison, isn't back by then. But, Trey Sermon.
Yep.
We don't know what's going to happen with Moss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll see.
Yep.
That's at somebody got what Atlanta's defense. They've allowed, unfortunately, they've allowed the second fewest points to the running backs, but again, probably avoid that backfield. But if you're desperate and he ain't playing,
we'll talk about this on Thursday, but I'm really excited to see what the over under on that Indy Atlanta game is. I feel like this is a game where Colts get to 20 and just get out of town with a win.
That's good. Quite possible.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Noah Brown. Track. Noah Brown's still available in 40% of leagues on ESPN. Nico Collins status is still up in the air. And he looked fine with Keenum there. Could be play the Titans. So again in 2 weeks, so could be somebody to keep hang on to as well.
Titans or the Oilers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we talked about him a little bit earlier, but Dontavian Wicks there in Green Bay. Captain Spock jumped in the chat. Jaden Reed might be out this week, which I was unaware of, and that would get him even more time on the field. He's got some decent size. It's 6'1", 205. He's not huge, like somebody like Michael Pittman, but he's somebody who can go up and get the ball. I think he's got pretty good hands, too. So,
yeah. Excellent.
I had Noah Brown, but the last one I've had him for the last couple of weeks. Jerick McKinnon's still available in 41%, he's rostered in 41% of leagues. I know Pacheco's due to come back, but McKinnon last year toward down the stretch really became a target for Mahomes, and with the lack of targets that he has this year, I look for that to continue. He caught a touchdown pass on Sunday, and he had a passing touchdown because of that weird trick play that they had down near the goal line against the Patriots. Yeah. So he's got some value even with Pacheco coming back, because you figure they're going to ease Pacheco back into the lineup, and especially in the red zone, McKinnon seems to be a really big focal point of that offense, which doesn't have a whole lot of targets to spread the ball around to like they did in previous years.
Yeah, I need them to not ease in Isaiah Pacheco. I need them to just jam his shit back in there. But no, that's a good point. And you look at what they did last year. I don't necessarily want to say that McKinnon was featured, but it seemed like he was getting many more of the higher quality touches.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned a tight end. I'm going to say Hunter Henry. Still available, 17% of leagues. Been on a tear here the last couple weeks. There is a chance that he, reverts back to 17 yards this week, but they're playing the Broncos. Second most fantasy points to tight ends, and they just let Laporta score 3 touchdowns on him. So it's a fine play. I think that's a fine one this week. So and
I agree.
And Zappy's been playing a lot better. or improving that team by playing better because
They're less bad.
Mac Jones is not the fucking answer for sure. So, Gerald Everett's another tight end, maybe for the Chargers. I don't know what's going to happen there though. Easton Sticks, he's pretty much been Easton Sticks' favorite target. What are you shaking your head for? You agree?
Yeah, I agree. He is a tight end.
Yeah, he is a tight end.
I heard that too.
This week they got the Bills, so that's a pretty tough matchup, but maybe somebody to grab because they got Denver the week after. I just mentioned second most fantasy points to tight ends. I don't really
think Broncos defense else. Against the Patriots.
Yeah. It's a good one.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sell it, Ramey.
I mean, the Patriots offense sucks. So I think you could have made some pretty good hay this year just streaming defenses that played the Patriots.
Sway's channel says, what's up, players? Who do you think is going to the Super Bowl?
Well, AFC, I have no friggin' idea.
yeah, I'm not
NFC,
sure.
NFC, squirt gun to my head, I'm saying the Niners.
Colts and Niners.
Colts and Niners.
Ravens 49ers rematch a Super Bowl from 2013?
I don't know. I think the Niners are there, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs don't figure it out here and end up surprising some teams in the playoffs.
Just line up onside.
Yeah, that's all you gotta do. You know,
either D Ford on defense or Kadarius Toney on offense. It's important to line up correctly.
Or maybe Jake Browning will take the Bengals to the Super Bowl and our prediction will come to fruition.
Well, we better hope Ja'Marr Chase doesn't miss any time because that's not going to fucking happen without him.
Yeah.
let's see. Adam Stoddard. Stevenson is on my waiver. Should I pick him up / is he good play next week? Is he healthy again?
Well, he's going up against the Broncos. I'm sure you've got somebody on your bench who is worse than Ramondre Stevenson. If he comes back, he's going to get the lion's share of the carries. Even if you end up having to stash him on your bench for a week, he's definitely worth an ad.
Yeah. Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blue Jays. Yahoo says he should be considered unlikely to play for week 16 as well. So keep an eye on that. I guess you could. I mean, worst thing you do is just drop him.
Yeah,
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam, for joining the show, man. Please give us a like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. Here every Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, and at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. Blue Jays. Are you back from your trip? Are you back from your trip, man?
The other side of the earth.
Right. The southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
Need some help. He dropped Noah Brown for Zamir White to handcuff Jacobs. Hopkins. Or Rashad? Oh no! Hold on.
Hopkins it goes this way. Dude with White. DeAndre Hopkins questions.
Yep, gotta love it. Hopkins or White back, Jacobs Luke. Flex and fucking stop fucking interrupting me, God damn it! Trying to say the shit. I'm not saying it now. You guys pissed me off.
So, Blue, you've missed Kyle. He's back from anger management, which did not work.
Yeah. He got so pissed off, he was freezing up there.
Yeah.
Sounds about so. Oh, he's still there. Man, lucky guy.
This dude. Drop Noah Brown for Zamir White, handcuff Jacobs, Hopkins. White, Jacobs in the flex. Damn.
Tennessee's got Seattle at home. If he plays Zamir White, I wouldn't play the Chiefs because the Raiders are playing the Chiefs and you're just kind of screwing yourself if Zamir White goes off and kills the Chiefs defense. But geez,
can you get Noah Brown back?
Yeah.
You know,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hopkins, and I'm going to go with the Bills. If Jacobs is healthy, I'm playing him over Hopkins. But we'll have to see how that works out. I'm not going to play Zamir White over Hopkins. Well, White didn't look too bad last week. And definitely I'll go with the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills for sure. Against
going Easton Stick.
Yeah.
Named after a damn bat
and a stick.
Still in paradise, coming back tomorrow. Ugh. Bills against Chargers High School.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, all right.
Yeah. The Hopkins and Bills. Yeah. Should I drop KC defense to get a shot at Noah Brown back?
I would.
Yeah, that Bills defense is playing good, so I think you can ride them for the rest of the year. I know they end the season against the Dolphins, but you could probably figure something out for that.
Yep, I'd rather have some skill guys than two defenses, for sure. Okay. Oh, shit, 8:05 already. Holy shit. DFS results. I won.
Look.
I won for the third time in 15 weeks. I'm very happy about it. I need to win out to tie Matt. Well, there's three more weeks.
Yeah, there's three more weeks.
4, 5, 6. So
ooh.
The points don't matter.
So you could pass me, but that's not going to happen because I ain't going to shit at ale.
Oh, it's happening.
My wallet's staying in my pocket.
So yeah, finally won one. And then our aces, deuces, locks picks from last week.
Uh-oh.
Look who's Ramey in first.
Ramey and I did not do very well. 0-5. I was 1-4. And yeah, Matt has finally passed me.
Yep. Bastard. I let you out to a nice little lead, let you feel comfortable.
Not too worried about it. Oh,
and then I've just decided to take your soul.
And then I know you guys don't care about this too much because you guys suck at fantasy football and you're not in our podcast league playoffs such as I am. I took care of business against generational talent. I got Drew's dumpster fire, melting snowman going this weekend. So good luck, Drew. And Brandon and AJ, a couple of me and Matt's high school buddies going against each other. So pretty nice. Cool. Pretty cool. Any more questions here?
Yeah. Got a couple in here.
Let's see. Blue Jays, what's the schedule for the rest of the week?
The usual, brother.
Yep.
7 o'clock on Thursday and 11:30 Sunday morning.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Get holiday pay George, this week.
That's right. George Player Man, welcome back. Welcome back. I can talk. Chiefs, Denver, Packers, or Eagles defense this week. I think we all like the Packers against
Packers.
Yeah. Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fine matchup. They got to figure some. I mean, they did have some bad play calling against Tampa Bay, so they got to figure that shit out. I know LaFleur declined to, you know, let go of the DC or make a change until the end of the season, but they got to figure something out. And Blue Jays, can I get in that league next year? Sure, you absolutely could. It seems like there's always turnover in leagues, but I know there's one guy that didn't even set his lineup all year, Blue Jays, so I'm sure we can just jettison him. And
he finished ahead of me.
There. And if we have more interest, I'm good with doing two podcast leagues.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We'll fill him up.
George Play, also a kicker question. Groupie McManus or Lutz?
McManus looked terrible.
Yeah, he did.
His ass needs to be thankful he still got a job. What the hell is New Orleans play?
They play.
I should have this up in
the Rams on Thursday. Play the,
yeah.
That's not awful. I mean,
yeah, that's not awful.
Kickers, you're almost to the point where you're just going to, you know, flip a coin and hope for the best. I've got Groupie on my team, so I'll say him. And we'll ride with them together, George.
dump KC and pick up. Oh, yeah, we're best. Yeah, good stuff, Spock. I agree on that. Absolutely. He said McAnus. It's a new. Yeah,
that's what he's been, too.
New menu item at McDonald's.
That's what happens after you eat the McRib.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah.
That's not even real food.
Dude, that's disgusting shit. I've had one in my lifetime, and it was 24 years ago or some shit, and gross.
They're better now. You should eat one we should eat one at the start of the podcast and see if you make it through.
No, I won't. That's it. Didn't they just continue them? They had them this last spring or early summer or something. They said that was gonna be the last time. Hopefully they could bring the snack wraps back already. Fuckers.
Yeah. I was down here with Loud Boy back in the day. We were shooting a short film and we rolled into a McDonald's and they had the McRib there and we went to order it. And I don't know, I just said something stupid, like, give me this shit to go, and then drove away and didn't even order. And that is my experience with a McRib.
OK, Captain Spock says they still serve them in jails. Yeah, somebody's got to eat that shit. Nice.
Heck yeah.
The corporate McDonald's warehouse probably just shipped them all to prisons across the country. Whoa, MLB question. Ooh. Where does Bellinger and Solaire land? I know me and Matt were talking about Solaire. I'm like, man, he'd be kind of good with the Tigers.
Yeah, I saw a little bit about him possibly coming to Detroit. Bellinger, I saw he's asking for like $200 million. Cubs can't Ramey? Afford that. They're a small market team.
God damn it.
I mean, Toronto missed out on the Ohtani sweepstakes. That's my guess where he goes, but I don't know if they can afford it.
I don't know.
I mean, if they could afford Ohtani, they can afford Bellinger.
Right. Blue Lays, yeah. You'll be happy to know that we will be a fantasy football and fantasy baseball podcast. We'll be transitioning to some baseball preseason stuff here in January. Still doing some NFL stuff as well, covering the playoffs, offseason, yada, yada. But I'm excited to talk about baseball soon, too. Captain Spock, is he Mark Bellinger's son? I haven't followed baseball for years.
Believe so.
I do not know.
Yeah, he's a second generation guy.
Sweet.
I think Bellinger ends up with the Cubs. I'm going to be optimistic. They haven't spent dick, so they need to spend some money. See, I don't know if I'd go 200.
Holy dick.
I would 180 over 3 years. 180 over 6 years, I'd be okay with that.
Hey. This guy was an MVP in 2019. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he couldn't hit the ball for 2 years and he bounced back. He had a bounce back year. Let's be fair. That's what Boris is doing. He's being a good agent and putting a number out there.
Stroman goes where? Ramey.
Shoot. I don't know.
Not to Chicago. I'm going to say St. Louis.
He was rumored to be talking to Kansas City for a little while, but I don't think he's going to go there.
Kansas City's spending money.
I would say they might be at their limit now. I can't believe for small market clubs spending money like that.
But they got that Mahomes money now. He's a part owner.
The whole small market thing is all bullshit anyway because of revenue sharing. Fuckers always cry poverty. And then they black out the games locally. You know what? I'm going to talk way too much about that.
Yeah. That's a
good stopping point.
It sure is. Take us out here.
All right. As we said, we'll be here at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening to preview week 16. And then we'll be back on Sunday morning at 11:30 on Christmas Eve to talk about those games and talk about fantasy football last minute lineups on Tinker Time. So appreciate everybody stopping in. Really enjoyed the interaction tonight. And we will talk to you on Thursday. Everybody have a great evening.
See you, folks.
See ya. Good night, folks.